Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Keeping the flame alive. Y'all ready? All right. Now tonight's topic, the Lord really put this on my heart because being a youth pastor, I've preached enough youth camps to know that it don't take just to get inside the bus to leave everything inside the tabernacle. Where's all my parents at? Come on. I've had phone calls from parents right from camp and said, I don't know what went on, but he's got an attitude. I said, well, he's at your house, not mine. You must have taught him that, because I taught him the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, but, you know, just coming out of camp meeting, those of you that were at camp meeting, I preached that message, Digging a Ditch. How many of y'all going to be there this weekend for part two of Digging a Ditch? Amen. But I brought something up of the practical side. It was Saturday morning of camp meeting. See, you're on a spiritual high there, but if you're not careful, you can hit the parking lot and the flesh take over. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking a lot of somebodies, actually. Yeah, you know, that wife says that thing that, you know, that just gets right underneath your skin. Come on, amen. Where it's like, I know she didn't just do that when I just stepped out of the house of God, and I'm going to have to repent. But one of the things that I told over the people, and I used to say it in youth camp all the time, I would say, you live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Not only was I speaking that over their physical life, but I was speaking it over their spiritual life, that they would live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. How many of y'all know the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy? I'm going to be honest with you. I've had Monday like 3 days in a row this week. How many of y'all have had, is it a full moon and people are crazy right now, or what's going on? It's like the werewolves are out, Eddie. We need to a zombie apocalypse or something. But silver bullets, come on. But anyways, it's been nuts. And if you're not careful, I'm telling you, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But you know what? I tell myself, this too shall pass. Amen. I'm pressing on. Come on, I'm not giving up the confidence. We've been going over Hebrews in the morning, Hebrews 10 and Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sticking to faith. Amen. And I'm not giving in to fear. Come on, people of God. We're not going to give in to fear. Bringing this COVID garbage back up. Lord have mercy. It'll be a cold day and, you know, before we shut the doors of the church. And y'all better watch. Y'all better watch. I told Pastor Robert this. I'm telling you, y'all get ready for explosion in the house of God, because churches like us that stand up, I'm telling you, God will honor it. Amen. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. I'm not going to walk in fear. I'm going to walk in faith. I'd rather die in faith than live in fear any day. Romans chapter 12. Are y'all ready? Keeping the flame alive. This is the Amplified, and I got an Amplified Classic, and I realized I put most of these in Amplified Classic because I got on there, but I love the way it said it the best in Romans 12. And those of you that are in the daily reading, you're in Romans right now. And I love the book of Romans. Who said yes? All right, good for you, girl. Staying on track. But it says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Isn't that good? Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. It says in verse 12, rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints, pursue the practice of hospitality. See, as the glow, a glow or the fire begins to be in us, we can put it into somebody else. I'm going to say that again, Dad. When the fire is in you, when the fire is not in you, you can't expect the fire to be in your kids. You know, I'm excited this Sunday. We're having the kids come in for worship. This is what I told Pastor Brandy. I said, I was at camp, and I said, I want the adults to see how free these kids worship. And she said, I'm excited for that too, but my only complaint is I don't want the kids to see how their parents worship. She said it, not me. I'm just a reporter. Come on. I'm just reporting the news. I'm just the mailman. She threw the mail out there. She put it in your, I'm just the one who put it in your, you know, mailbox. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 17, amplified as well, it says, "And the glory of the Lord appeared to the Israelites like devouring fire far," come on, we're in Texas, "on the top of the mountain." We see throughout Scripture here, and I'm trying to open your eyes to this in Scripture, that God responds by fire, and there is a fire in you. In 1 Kings 18, just real quick, real briefly here, if you haven't read 1 Kings 18, Elijah shows up on the scene of a whole bunch of people that are for the god Baal. And he goes to Ahab and says, "Let's have a showdown today at Mount Carmel. Let's see who God shows up." And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." See, what is he praying? He's saying, "Lord, reveal yourself to the people." You know what I pray with my kids all the time? And I want to encourage you with this. If they need healing in their body, pray for your kids. Pray for your kids. And don't pray a five-minute prayer. Make it simple, because if they hear a five-minute prayer, they're going to think, "I'm never going to pray because I don't know how to pray like Daddy prays." Right? Actually, my wife taught me that, didn't you? Pray those simple prayers. She's like, don't pray them long prayers because then they're going to think, "I can't pray like that." Come on, I'm really preaching to y'all right now. The Bible says heal the sick. And this is what I say, "Lord, reveal yourself to Anson. Reveal yourself to Ketch. Reveal yourself to Noel. Reveal yourself to Addison right now in Jesus' name." What is he praying? He said, "God, reveal yourself to these Israelites." How does he do it? Goes on, verse 38. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up all the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" How did he answer? He answered by fire. In Luke 3:16, it says this, "John answered them all by saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, with the straps of whose sandals I am not fit to unfasten. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with
fire."
Come on. How many of y'all know there was a new fire that was burned in you when the Holy Spirit came on the inside of you? Or you open that gift, there's fire. Also want to point out Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. How many of y'all were here last year when I did the series on Jesus in the book of Revelation and the seven churches? Well, when Jesus comes to the Apostle John at the island of Patmos, when he reveals himself to him, he begins to describe him. And he said his head and his hair were like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes flashed like a flame of fire. It says his eyes were like a flame of fire. That means they weren't fire, but they were like fire, similar to fire. But have you ever looked at fire? Fire pulls you in. I'm already preaching now. He draws all men unto him, but like a welding light, you know, like a welding light, they say don't look at it, but it's like when you're a kid, I got to look at it. It's going to burn your eyes, but I got to still see. I mean, let's test the waters. I've been to the eye doctor before because of it, but just to point that out there. I've burned my eyes. But how many of y'all know fire catches your eye, and it draws all men unto you? That's what Jesus did, but I'm trying to point a picture here. Like, when I'm on the, in the mornings, when I'm preparing on the back patio, the guy across the alley from us, he has one of them old school bug zappers. How many of y'all still have one of the bug zappers? You do? I figured you would, JC. But they're cool. It reminds me of my grandmother being in Breckenridge, Texas. But what happens, it's like drawing a moth to the flame. I'm telling you, when the fire of God is on the inside of you, men will be drawn to that. It's an attraction that people want. When you're excited about the things of God and the fire's turned up on the inside of you, I'm telling you, I have too many testimonies of saying, I want what you have. See, fire in Scripture is a representation of purification and judgment. What's the other one, Pastor Robert? He'll tell me later. It's like the other day, Pastor had a Greek word, and it was on the end, it was on the tip of my tongue, and I told him after church what it was, after Pastor Beth sent me in a text. But in this particular text here, we're drawn to warmth and love, and he says his eyes are like a flame of fire. To the church, a holy fire is intended to purify, and make us more like Christ. But to the disobedient and to the wicked, there is a fire that burns up the chaff and consumes everything that opposes God. We saw that in 1 Kings, right? But two churches were purified in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. Five churches were consumed. And I just want to remind the people today, the fire is coming. I mean, I believe Jesus is coming back for his church, and the fire is coming. So tonight is an introduction of where we're going to... And I want to invite all of you, don't miss any of these. All of these are very vital ingredients for building the cake. The Lord really, I actually, those of you that follow us in the morning, I did it on a long, but I'm going to get into more detail of these particular things. How many of y'all were on in the mornings when I was talking about the ingredients of a cake, building a cake? All right, that's where we're going. Keeping the flame alive. Do you struggle to keep the fire of the Holy Spirit burning in your heart? That's the first one. Burning in your heart, as it may have burned earlier in your life. Do you sometimes feel like all that is left are a few embers, and that perhaps even those embers are starting to die out and become cold? Does this hit home in your Christian walk? So what do we do? Here's the question. How do you stoke the fire to burn red hot again? Once it's burning, how do you sustain it and turn up the heat for the rest of your time here on this earth? I want to talk about fire. Fuel is essential to keep the fire going anywhere. Y'all agree? Fuel is essential to keep the fire going anywhere. It also takes lots of attention and work to keep the fire burning bright. If you've been to a campfire, or if you lived through February last year in South Texas, it takes work to keep a fire burning hot. It says in 2 Timothy 1:6, this is a great passage of text. So many people skip over this and go to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But the verse before is so important. It says, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of laying on of my hands with those of my of the elders at your ordination. See, here's this young preacher here, and his name is Timothy, and Timothy is the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And we read about the church at Ephesus. In fact, it was the first church that the Apostle John begins to prophesy to or talk about in Revelation chapter 2, and they are known as the Loveless Church. The church at Ephesus was an amazing place. In fact, the fact that the only lasting disciple that was with Jesus, he was in the church. And how many of y'all know when Jesus died on the cross, he said, behold your mother, Mary. So Mary is with the Apostle John. Mary is in the church as well. And Paul is a big establishment of this. And Paul is writing to Timothy. And he says, don't forget what happened that night. Don't forget to stir up the gift that's on the inside of you by the laying on of hands. Before I go into stirring up the gift, I want to point something out. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, this isn't in your notes, but he says, he's pointing something out of a time that happened in his life. He said, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, that special endowment which was intentionally bestowed on you by the Holy Spirit, through prophetic utterance when the elders laid their hands on you at your ordination. I want to point something out, and there's a group of men that I meet with, and I pointed this out to them as well, and this may be another Bible study topic of six foundations that we find in Hebrews chapter 6. And in the end of Hebrews chapter 5, the writer here, he's writing to a group of people, and he's saying to them this. He is saying, you should be at a place where you're teaching the class. but yet you're still on milk rather than meat. How many of y'all remember when in Hebrew, at the end of Hebrews chapter 5, he said you're still on milk instead of meat. See, people like milk. Why do they like milk? They like it because it's sweet. You got a lot of big churches that talk about grace and mercy and love. And then the next topic is grace and mercy and love. And then the next topic is grace and mercy and love. Why is that? Because it's sweet and it tastes good. But he's saying you'll never grow into maturity if you only stay on the milk of the Word of God. You've got to get into the meaty things, the things that stretch you, the things that make you a disciple, that talk about like the gifts of the Spirit. That talks about calling out sin and when it's in your life. But he goes on in chapter 6. He says, therefore, let us get past the elementary stage in teachings about the Christ, advancing on to maturity and perfections in spiritual completeness. Doing this, and there's six foundations here. There's the first one. With the laying, again, a foundation of repentance from dead works. That's a foundation that we have all got to know. Repentance from dead works. We've all got to know the ministry of repentance. How many of y'all know repentance is about face? I was going in this direction, now I'm going in that direction. It's not coming to the altar and say, I repent. You go out in the parking lot and do it again. That's not repentance. Or even if you come to the altar and bawl and cry and squall, if you still keep doing it in your life, it's not repentance. It's a change of course. It's an about face. We're doing something different. The next one, another foundation, Pastor Robert, this is probably something we need to teach in here, is a foundation of faith toward God. You know, it's easy for us to have faith through your husband or faith through your wife, or kids to have faith through mom and daddy, or to have faith in your pastor. Well, if I can just get up there and pray with the pastor, I know everything. I believe that. Two is better than one. But I'm here to tell you, you can pray as well if you have faith toward God. And you know what this means? It says have faith totally in the Lord. You know what we're going to see in the next couple of months? You mark my words, because they're going to amp this deal back up, y'all. We're going to see the people who really have faith toward God. Not faith in a system, not faith in CDC, not faith in a mask or a vaccine. The ones that have faith toward God. The next one, so that's the second one. The third one is the teachings about washings. Just real quick, he's talking about baptism. There's the baptism of the blood when you ask Jesus to come live on the inside of you. Salvation. How many of y'all thankful for the baptism of the blood? Just lift your hand that you're now saved. The next one is baptism of water. We call it the believer's baptism. When we confess before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. When we get baptized, and if you haven't been baptized, I want to encourage you to be baptized. Romans chapter 6, we go down in the dead things and we come alive brand new. Amen? And the third one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you missed the last couple of weeks, get the tape. Do we have tapes anymore? Get the podcast. Come on, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that's the teachings about washing. So that's the third one. But here's the one I'm trying to get to here. It says the ritual purification, and the fourth one is the laying on of hands. Listen, if the man of God is up here and he's saying, you want the fire of God, you never miss out. You run to the front. I'm going to say that again. You run to the front. Pastor Ty last week said, you want an impartation? Yes, sign me up. I'll go. All throughout Scripture, we see that there is a transfer of anointing. There's a transfer of power. There's a transfer of fire through the laying on of hands. And so he's talking to this young minister here, and then the next one is resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And I'd love for Pastor Robert to teach on that. Actually, he gave me some insight on that. But all of those things, he's saying these are elementary things that you've got to have on the inside of you before you even move on to the meat. These are milk products. Do you know those things? All right, moving on. We're talking about the fire. Everybody say fire. Fire. So he says, I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you that came from the laying on of hands. This word stir up, it is the Greek word, and it's Parlez-vous français? That sounded more French, didn't it? Anatzu Puriu. Come on, hallelujah. It's hard for a hillbilly. But Anna, it means carries the idea of repeating an earlier action or doing something again. The word Zeus here, that we see zoo, it means, or zao, it means to be enthusiastic, to be fervent, to be passionate, to be vigorous, to be wholehearted, or to be zealous. And pure means fire. So fire in the classical Greek is a life-giving force. Life-giving force. Fire was used in the fireplace of every home to keep people warm. Used in matters related to the divine and supernatural. And it's used as a force to defeat enemies. Fire was central to life and considered essential for one's existence. In fact, human life is unsustainable without fire. I'm already preaching, actually teaching, whatever. Unsustainable without fire. When these three Greek words are compounded, they form the word anatzupurio, whatever. Don't, no judging right now. The very word Paul used in 2 Timothy 1:6, when he told the young minister Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was in him, it implies that the fire in Timothy's heart had grown weak to embers or was on a low burn. So Paul tells Timothy to begin to be passionately and rigorously stoke and stir up the gift of God in his life. Paul was telling Timothy that just as one would stoke the embers of a fire in a fireplace, it was time for him to take action. Paul was commanding Timothy to reach within himself and rekindle or kindle anew the fire in his heart. Years ago at youth camp, I remember a young lady came forward. You'll know who I'm talking about. She came forward and she began to talk about this, and maybe this helps you. How many of y'all know in the winter time or in the winter months when they cook those, I could see Shirley fixing this, chicken and dumplings? You fix it? All right, give me a call. But how many of y'all know the dumplings are at the top, but the meat's at the bottom? And you've got to dig down in there, or what you have to do is stir it up. Because I believe this, there is word in you. There is life-giving power in you. But if we're not careful because of the distractions of this life and relationships and the news and Facebook, come on, who am I preaching to? What happens is it goes to the bottom of the barrel. But what he's saying in the scripture right here, you've got to learn to stir that up and bring the good stuff back to the top. The stuff that was down there in the fire, let's stir it up and let's get to the good meat. So at the time of 2 Timothy 1:6, Timothy was surrounded by a great deal of chaos and confusion because of the intense persecution that was taking place at that time. There's a book that I want to encourage all of you to read by Rick Renner, and it is called Life in the Combat Zone. And he goes into detail about Timothy's life. And I'm telling you, we don't know persecution. I'll say that again. We don't know persecution. Siri? That's persecution right there. Shut up, Siri. Why she's talking to me, I don't know. But life in the combat zone. And he goes into detail. He was killed on Cutica Street in the streets of Ephesus for preaching the gospel. He was killed, martyred before his church people. We don't know what persecution is, right? But there was intense persecution that was taking place at the time. There's no doubt that this young minister here, Timothy, was physically, mentally, and emotionally exhausted from dealing with all kinds of problems, and that his own spiritual fire was beginning to weaken. But Paul told him to take action before the fire inside of him went out completely. We need to be like Timothy. Amen? Let's open the door to our heart. Open the door to our heart. Look inside to determine the condition of our inward fire, and then take action to stir up the gift of God inside of us. Like stoking the coals of a fireplace, Timothy and you are called to stir up the embers and then put more wood on the fire. And this doesn't occur accidentally. You're going to have to be intentional and proactive to keep the flame burning. Just like on a cold day, you're going to have to get off the couch, go outside, chop the wood, and put the fire in the fireplace, and do it again, and do it again, and again, and then you'll have to do it again. Amen? We can't stop. If you're on vacation, chop some wood, baby, and put it in the fireplace, no matter where you are. And when you hit a low burn, start the process over. Amen? Thank God for His grace and His mercy. The choice to be proactive is much wiser than reaping the consequences that are produced from negligence. The truth is, you're going to have to make a choice to do whatever is required to stay warm or you will freeze. Amen? So stir it up. If you will ask the Holy Spirit, He'll show you how to open the door to your heart and take an honest look on the inside to access your condition and need. He will begin to show you the steps to take and kinds of fuel you need to activate and fully utilize in your life. You are called to consistently stir up those embers and fuel that fire so you will remain ablaze, a blazing inferno for Jesus. Who wants to be a blazing inferno for Jesus? Amen? It'll jump off of you into your kids, into your grandkids, into your neighbors. Come on. Set them on fire. Your preacher told you to. A world without fire. Let's think about this. Without fire, people would only have the moon and stars as a light source at night. In ancient times, fire was essential to extend the day, provide heat, scare off predators and insects. You know what fire does? It scares off predators and bugs. I'm going to say it again. You know what the fire does? It scares off the enemy and the things that try to bug you. Come on. Bring light. It brings light to dark places. It brings light to dark places. And it helps with cooking. These are just a few. Long before we had gas and electricity, people depended on fire for light, heat, and most importantly, survival. You can't survive without the fire of God on the inside of you. I'm going to say that one more time. Your spiritual life, you cannot survive without the fire of God burning on the inside of you. Without fire, there is no light in the dark, no heat in winter, no cooking of meat or baking of bread, no burning bricks, no s'mores. Come on, somebody. Yeah. You like how I put that in there? Come on, somebody. Life without s'mores, there's no reason to live. That's no way to live. Don't you know that the discovery of fire was one of the greatest discoveries ever made? And we can't imagine life without it. Fire in the blacksmith trade is still important to creating tools and making weapons even today. Don makes them at his house. He probably did today. He made weapons. He's ready for the zombie apocalypse. The energy produced by fire is essential. The energy produced by fire is essential for constructing buildings and making machines fueled by the engines of our industrial age. Fire also determined the outcome of two world wars. Think about that. How do you win a war? By fire. I'm going to say it one more time. Y'all ain't getting it. How do you win a war? By fire. Come on. If you're at war, you better get the fire burning. Are you beginning to see how important the fire is? Need more? Today, fire is used to create technology and make the world a more comfortable place to live. Fire still burns coal and oil to make electricity. I forget what. Coal. See? I blame the iPad. I was talking into it. Coal and oil to make electricity. Wake up, America. You gonna go electric? Okay. It takes fire to have electricity. This is biblical, y'all. All right? I'm not getting political. I'm getting biblical. All right. If we were to remove fire from the world, life would be similar to living on the moon. Without fire, technology would be impossible to create. Metal is shaped to make wires and phones by the use of heat derived from fire. Without metal, no electricity could be transported to facilitate a host of functions needed to keep civilization running. Fire, we must have it to survive. Amen? Likewise, we must have spiritual fire if we are going to move forward in the advancement of God's purposes and in the fulfillment of His plan for our life. Listen to what the Wesleyan minister here, Samuel Chadwick, stated the importance of staying ablaze with spiritual fire. He wrote, "Spirit-filled souls," this is a Wesleyan minister here, listen to this, "Spirit-filled souls are ablaze for God. They love with love that glows. They serve with a faith that kindles. They serve with a devotion that consumes. They hate sin with a fierceness that burns. They rejoice with joy that radiates, and love is perfected in the fire of God." Isn't that good? It's so good and it's so true. So I'm going to ask you tonight, how is your fire? If you're going to be effective spiritually and truly fulfilled in life, it is absolutely essential that you remain ablaze with your spiritual fire. Can you remember a time when your heart was literally on fire with a passion for the things of God? But if you're honest with yourself today, you did admit that since that time, the fire has weakened. If that describes you, you have to take time to consider this. What happened along the way to quench the fire that burned so brightly? Just go ahead and yell it out. Just kidding. Just kidding. We don't need no names right now. Come on. What should you have done differently to keep it burning? What can you do right now to stoke those glowing embers and get your inner fire blazing again? John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, wrote about his personal concerns regarding the fire of God working in his life. He said, "My fear is not that our great movement known as the Methodists will eventually cease to exist or one day die from the earth. My fear is that our people will become content to live without the fire, the power, and the excitement, and the supernatural element that makes us great." And considering the state of today's church, Wesley's concerns seem to have been well-founded. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be in a house that has passion and a fire of God, a blazing, burning bright, that purifies. It is so important that we determine to stay on fire with the Spirit and power of God. As we start this study, our goal is to identify and embrace the different types of key spiritual fuels we need to remain burning strong for God every day of our life. Everybody say every day. Every day. I'm telling you, it's every day. Every day. It's every day. It's every day. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, "Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit." Do not quench. Now look at this. And this is something I want to point out, and this is just something that I saw as I began to study this out and look up scriptures and fire and things like that. But Paul told us not to quench the Spirit. What does this mean? It means the Holy Spirit can be quenched. I've been in services where it like left the building. Have you ever been in those services before? Like, whoa, where'd he go? He ain't here. It's the Holy Spirit shape at the back door. There's some things, so which is what we don't want to do. How many of y'all know we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit? Quench in the Greek here, spenoumi. I work on these at the house and then I get up here. Spaghetti. I'm hungry, honey. Oh, Lord. But it means to extinguish, smother, suppress, douse, put out, snuff out, or quell. Whatever that means. It is most often used in the context of extinguishing a fire by dousing it with water. In some places, it means to evaporate or to dry up. What Paul is trying to tell us is that if we ignore the Holy Spirit's voice long enough and often enough, eventually we'll become spiritually hardened and will no longer be able to hear Him when He does try to speak to us. I mean, y'all believe that. It would be like His voice evaporates and dries up and we will hear it no more. How tragic is this? I'm telling you, I've been in places, I've been in states in my spiritual walk before that because of actions that I've done and not fueling the fire, at one time I heard the voice of the Lord so clear that I literally was in my pickup like, God, where are you? How many of y'all have ever been there before? Lord, where are you? It's like He left me. Whether you realize it or not, if they make a practice of hardening themselves to the Holy Spirit's voice, you separate themselves from the life-giving power of the gospel that He was sent to unveil and reveal to your heart and to perform as a manifested reality in your life. Think about a campfire. You know that its flames can burn very bright and hot. But what happens when someone starts throwing water on the coals? See, at first, it only dampens the heat, takes the heat away a little bit. But if you continue, the flames will eventually quench, smother, or put out the fire altogether. Never allow cold water to be thrown on the flames of your heart. Do not quench the spirit, but instead do everything you can to throw more fuel on the fire of your heart. When you adopt the attitude that you're going to start fueling your fire, consistently utilizing to the fullest and all the fuels God provides, I guarantee you that your inner man will burst into spiritual flames. But you are the only one who can choose to add the fuel and stoke the coals to keep the Holy Spirit fire burning brightly in your life. Husbands, don't rely on your wife to do this for you. Wives, don't rely on your husband to do this for you. Don't rely on your daddy or your mama or even your pastor. You want to see revival? It starts in you. Let's say that again. You want to see revival? It starts in you. It starts in me. It starts in you. So let's make a serious commitment before the Lord that we will stay on fire with God's holy fire for the rest of our days on this earth. Determined to do whatever the Spirit of God tells you to do to keep your inner man burning like a spiritual inferno. And these are the spiritual fuels that we're going to be going over. Obviously, number one, it's God's Word. If you don't stay faithful in the Word of God, that is like throwing water on your fire. Amen? When we build a campfire in the backyard, we obviously use lighter fluid. You know, you get the small sticks, and then Ketch has the lighter fluid, and it was really interesting then. Come on. Amen? That's fuel. I'm telling you, God's Word is like lighter fluid. It builds your faith. You know, in the morning times, those of you that get on Facebook Live, what are we doing? We're looking at people, and it builds our faith. It's fuel to us to keep running the course. If He did it for Abraham, He can do it for me. If He did it for Adam, He can do it for me. If He did it for Enoch, He can do it for me. If he told a guy to build a boat because it's going to rain, how many of y'all know He can do it for us? He can show us things in advance. Prayer, I'm telling you, rather than complain, let's learn how to pray. I'm going to say that one more time. Rather than complain, let's learn how to pray. And dads, I'm telling you, husbands, wives, American citizens, we need to learn how to pray. Amen. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have prayer on the first Saturday of every month. On the first Saturday. We come together and we pray. You know what I want to be known as a praying church. Huh? And Monday nights at 6:45, they get together and pray. We have a prayer team here. Number three is this. Another fuel is the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you got to tap into the things of the Holy Spirit. Number four.
Worship.
You know why I'm up here and I'm excited for the things of God? I'm telling you, it's fuel to my fire. It's fuel to my fire. I'm telling you. Men, we've got to learn how to worship. Men, when I was worship leader, they asked me for the women's conference. They'd say, hey, would you lead worship? I'd say, yes. Will you do it for the men's conference? No. Now, when Mike Barber was here and he'd say, hey, would you come lead worship in the prison? Yes, 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 yes. Because those guys that are locked up and in chains worship more freely than any man in the church. I'm telling you, it's fuel to the fire. You've got to also have a passion for souls. You got to have a passion for the lost. Amen? How many of y'all have family members that need to come to Jesus? I'm telling you, the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. The next one is this. I'm telling you, a good way to have your fire burn out is not tithe. Well, that's not very friendly. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your pastor and shepherd you. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't tithe, your fire will burn out. If you don't give 10% of your increase, if you give 9%, snuffed out. 8%, snuffed out. Pastor Robert, you're not amening loud enough. And I'm not saying this to you for me. I'm saying it to you for you. It's like, I'm telling you, you want the fire of God, you got to learn how to be generous and give. Come on. Testify over there. Testify. I'll testify. Absolutely. Where's my next page? Oh, right here. Holiness. God's called us to be saints and live a life of holiness. Amen. This week, that flesh was knocking on the door. Hey, I had something crazy. Like, a horse ran me over, busted through the gate, ran down this, and then tried to jump the fence. Got himself all cut up, and I was just getting madder. I was shaking mad, Gabe. But I'm telling you, I said, Lord, I'm going to live a life of holiness. Come on, somebody. Amen. Humility. Oh, humility. I'm telling you, if you got an ego, ain't nobody impressed but you. She got it. Who's that for tonight? Raise your hand. No, just kidding. Ain't going to raise it anyway. The next one is this, authority. Ooh, this is so good. Authority. Authority. And the next one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.